The best in chat radio, designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. I couldn't decide what I wanted to talk about today because there's so much going on that, I mean, you can have a show every day for the rest of the year and still not talk about the same thing. But, you know, I wanted to try to take a step back and look at things from an objective, analytical point of view. You know, everything's all about emotion these days and about people's feelings and that sort of stuff. But, you know, all the rhetoric, we talked about this, I have in the past, about the mindset and how when you start to think about things in an emotional way, your reason just turns off. And there's been a real, I guess it hasn't been publicized very much, but from a standpoint, a health standpoint, we are really being inundated with communicable diseases from people entering the country who they haven't mentioned a thing about. You know, we're talking about Zika now, but multiple drug-resistant tuberculosis is on the rise. There's been an extreme uptick in cases in Massachusetts, in the Midwest, and all over, basically. And they give you half the story. They just mention it as if it's just in a bubble and we don't know why it's happening. But when you really think about it, it has to be. And if you look at it in terms of where the people are showing up, it's got to be immigration, and it has to be the people coming into the country. I know, Dave, we talked about this in the past about Ellis Island and the fact that people had to go through a medical evaluation, a quarantine in some cases, and in those instances where they had something that was life-threatening or couldn't be cured, they were sent back to their country. None of that is going on now. People are literally being dropped off, bussed into parts unknown in the country, released with the clothes on their back in some instances, released into families who are being paid upwards of $8,000 per person to take them in. You know, that's a whole another show. It's a pipeline, and there's no vetting of any health concerns. And we've talked about it before where there was scabies, there was tuberculosis, you know, bacterial pneumonia, all sorts of things that came in last year from the people coming in, you know, and staying at these immigrant encampments. Well, it's still going on, and now we're having multiple resistant tuberculosis, which is not something that you can cure, which is communicable. And just think about the extent of this. If this goes into, if children are carrying this, not taken care of, and they're sitting beside children in school, little children sharing toys and God knows what else with each other. What's the state of our healthcare system if this gets out of control? How do you take care of a growing population, perhaps a growing population of people with a medical condition that can be spread but can't be cured? What's the story with that? I mean, I know you have other shows on the station. Has anybody spoken about that part of the immigration problem?
Not really, no. And I think this is something that should be addressed. You know, it's. I don't want to say everybody's trying to be PC or anything like that, but you're hitting a very important fact. You know, it's like I don't know many mosquitoes that can fly from Brazil to the U.S. in a single bound. So obviously it had to come in via immigrants someplace. Now, whether it's crossing the border illegally or in somebody's suitcase or I don't know what. I'm not a scientist. I don't know the answer to that, but it obviously had to come in some way or the other, and it came into Florida. So,
common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a scientist before the Olympics started, maybe about 2 or 3 months ago, who wrote an article about how they should stop the Olympics. They should move the site of the Olympic Games to another country because Zika is the epicenter of Brazil. All right. or Representative Pica is Brazil, I should say. And they said, no, no problem. I mean, just think about potentially these athletes being exposed to a virus that is communicable. We now found out it's sexually transmitted. We don't know what other method it's being transmitted by, but that's a big one, sexual transmission. And we don't know what the upshot of it is down the road. They could potentially be a carrier, not know it, come back, you know, pass it to a partner, loved one, etc. I mean, have children that are affected. I mean, this name, I mean, the fact that the people are getting put in harm's way without any thought to it just really boggles my mind. And the CDC, it's just like, it's okay. And it's always after the fact. It seems like there's never any thought to what if. What about prevention? Nothing ever seen in our medical side of this thing, of everything. Cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, all the big players in our healthcare system in terms of cost and morbidity. There never seems to be any thought about how do you prevent it? What's causing it? We now have a way, or we know that there's a new disease that's popped up on the radar. But no real effort was made to avoid spreading this thing. I mean, the first thing I would do if I were part of it, or it had some sort of power in it, if I would have had a moratorium on people coming into the country from affected areas. You have to go through quarantine. You have to be tested. Apparently this test is pretty easy to do. You know, it's pretty fast. You do the test, you get the result pretty quickly, like they're doing in Florida. Why can't you do something like that? It's about, a health issue. It's not political correctness. It's about the health of the population. The whole point of the CDC is to protect the American population and globally. You know, they have teams that go out and do work when there's an epidemic of some sort. Why don't they take precautions? It just seems like everything's after the fact. Now we're in a position in Florida where they're spraying pesticides on whole regions of the city. And they're talking about releasing FDA-approved genetically modified mosquitoes, who, that's technically what happens, is the male mosquito that's unable to impregnate a female mosquito, so they basically sterilize them. But so that should technically drop the mosquito population. But what happens when I don't know, biodiversity and all sorts of things, if you take out the mosquito population, does that change the the balance elsewhere? I don't know. If some sort of animal gets bitten by that mosquito, does it transfer its DNA? Does it transfer anything to that animal? Does it affect their ability to procreate? Nobody knows. It's experimental. So you end up just unleashing things to try to control things, you know, like the horse out of the barn and you're trying to close the door after. It makes no sense to me.
Just
from a medical standpoint.
In what you've said, Dr. George, I've got to ask you. I don't know if you've seen the news this morning, but I want to ask you, what would you do with the people returning from the Olympics that have been participants, particularly in the swimming?
Yeah.
How would you check them as they came in? Did you see the diving pool today?
What happened?
It is chartreuse.
What do you mean?
It is greener than a gourd. And the Brazilians, the people there have said, oh, no, well, we've tested it. And it was just a little outbreak of algae. It's okay.
What?
We've tested it, and it'll be fine for diving.
In the pool?
Not even
out of the water, right?
The water is greener than, I mean, it's chartreuse. It's yellow green. It's obnoxious. I wouldn't dive in there if you put a gun to my head. But, I don't see how they're running it. And, you know, and I'm serious about what would you do? Let me ask, can a person be tested for Zika?
Yes, they're doing it in Florida.
Okay,
that's
so.
That's how they came up with the idea that it was endemic, that it wasn't from travel-related illness, that the disease popped up in Florida. Was it in Miami, in the Miami area?
So
now I think it's in Palm Beach now as well.
What would you do with the people returning from Brazil, and not just the athletes? I guess it should be across the board, shouldn't it?
That's exactly right, and that was the fear of the scientists. That you have over 200 countries represented going to this epicenter. You have the potential for a global epidemic of this, depending on what happens while these guys are there. You're absolutely right. There should be no question. If there's a question mark about whether something can infect somebody and they can unknowingly infect somebody else, and it affects at this point, it has killed people because of the presentation of it. It can be anything, flu-like to pneumonia, all sorts of stuff that can actually kill a person in addition to the microcephaly and the birth defects. And children that don't survive after their mothers are infected with the virus. No, this is, it's just, doesn't make any, it's unconscionable that you would put the whole world technically at risk for a game in an area, in a country that can barely contain their own healthcare needs. I mean, people if they have HBO should actually look at Brian Gumbel, Real Sports. If you have the ability to go back and look at that on demand, you should look at that. Because they did a story on the state of the Olympics, of the country, and of the overwhelming poverty, especially in the area that, you know, the venue is being or had been built on, and the slums around it, the fact that there's raw sewage that runs into the water that people are going to be swimming in, the fact that the hospitals are overwhelmed, they have people in the hallway, they don't even have beds to admit people into. I mean, if this did become an issue, every athlete in that, if people got sick, they'd be overwhelmed in terms of their ability to be able to take care of them. I just don't get it. No. Where's the whole point of public health is to really think in terms of the public health. There doesn't seem to be anything or anybody who's trying to really stop this. It's like, we can just take care of it after the fact. How does that work for other diseases? It doesn't really work for HIV. It doesn't really work for Ebola. All the things that they've just thrown out there, as if it's supposed to just magically just get controlled, it's beyond me. Sexually transmitted diseases are very hard to control. How do you do it? But if you take young, healthy people, sexually active people, put them all in an Olympic village, what do you think is going to happen? Apparently, they have the Tinder accounts and the number of people on Tinder is through the roof in the Olympics. There's some other article I read. So this is not a good situation, you know?
With that, let's let people think about it, and we'll take our first break.
You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Are your health insurance premiums going up? You are not alone. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org to understand why and what you can do to get us back on the right track. This is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org.
Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz. Join me each week, Wednesdays at 2 o'clock, as we talk drones, Internet of Things, and technology.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you probably notice that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George, and you saw the picture.
I did see the picture. It's pretty shocking, I have to say.
You know, I there was a girl on, I don't know her name, and I don't know all the follow-up on it, but that her mother, her parents weren't able to go to Brazil, but their daughter is in Brazil, I don't know what, whether she's actually in the swimming or what she's in. But, you know, if I were a parent and I had a son or daughter that was diving or involved, and really just, you know, I think I would have, it'd be a shame because the training that these kids go through and so on. And, in fact, there's a young man from here locally that's participated. I think he got a bronze medal in swimming from North Atlanta, from the Johns Creek area. But anyway, with that being said, if I were a parent and I saw that picture of that pool, I think I would be on the next train out pulling my kid from the Olympics and telling him, you know, I could see lawsuits out of this. They shouldn't have gone to begin with, in my opinion.
Well, who are they going to sue? That's the question.
Our American Olympic, yeah.
You know, who do you sue?
I don't know, but I'd pull my kid away from there as quick as I could.
It comes down to being able to have the mindset of, I'm going to protect myself because the onus is on me. That's what people have to start thinking about. All of these pronouncements of what constitutes normal in terms of what they recommend that you eat, exercise, all the pronouncements of staying healthy. You know, I'm not sure that I trust them at this point. Who's making up these studies to decide what vitamins are necessary or not? Remember, there was a study that said that taking vitamins is unnecessary and dangerous. Which, you know, but it was underwritten by a pharmaceutical company. This is the kind of misinformation and propaganda and just the level of trying to get you to do things that usually don't work in your favor, but make them trendy. Make them, put them on news and then try to make people think that's the way you should do it. I mean, it's just, you really, really have to do your own due diligence. I think this whole political system is that, if nothing else, I think a lot of people are waking up to, and when I turn on the TV and I listen to something and the news is pronouncing something or that I should think a certain way, I need to take a step back and really think about who stands to gain, who's the mouthpiece behind the pronouncement to try to control what I do or think or say, and is it really what they're saying? Are they doing what they say they're doing? You know what I mean? The people who are pronouncing that you should, you know, be politically correct and that you should accept everybody, are they living in an environment where they actually get exposed to these things? Are they having to, you know, use Obamacare, for example, use Medicare, use the things that they're actually telling everybody they should be happy with? Or are they just making the rules they don't have to abide by? It seems to me that is the major thing that's come out of this whole process. Hypocrisy.
What is the old saying? Do as I say, not as I do. Is Bernie Sanders just bought himself his third vacation home for $600,000?
Yeah. It didn't stand with his followers. You know, he just took the money and ran.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you say, it's the actions. I think people really, really need to actually start looking at things from that standpoint. People can say things all day. They have, it's a skill at this point to be able to, with a straight face, say pronouncement and then do the opposite and have people just ignore that. Again, this whole Democratic email WikiLeaks leak, nobody seems to pay attention for any length of time as to what was in the emails, which were anti-gay, anti-black, anti-Sanders. It just got ignored, and it got, you know, conflated, or I should say diverted, by talking about Russia as if that was the whole thing. It was their fault that it got released. And now it turns out it's not Russia. It's definitely, it was just a ploy to divert people. You know, you get people to look at the shiny thing. But the bottom line is, an election was rigged. It was, cheating went on. There was no respect for the people who will make up the cohort of your base. They're just means to an end. You know, everything is just, like, really strange. I don't know if you've seen just a segue to the articles that you've seen about college students now having segregated classes just for black students,
yeah.
Students not wanting to room with white students. Are we moving back towards segregation in the guise?
Wait, though,
political correctness?
They said that was political correctness. That's
really?
Being fair to, they should, and I can't think of any other term. They didn't say isolate, but for all practical purposes, it is isolation. But
it's segregation.
The blacks will feel better talking to themselves, and they'll open up if it's, and they wouldn't do that if they were white. You know, of all the stupid stuff I've heard, you know, 10 years ago, we were a hell of a lot better off than we are today, as far as, in my opinion, as far as everybody getting along. You know, you weren't hearing this crap. And
no.
This stuff of, you know, this government has done more to fuel the fire of segregation than they have of fueling the fire of we're Americans.
But that's the playbook. You divide and conquer. You micro-target to whatever group you can divide, you know, to create. And you target to them, and you make them the victim, and you make them feel as if someone took something from them, and, you know, their rights and their needs have to outweigh everybody else's. I've never seen, I mean, I went to college, obviously. And I went to it wasn't a predominantly black university. I chose to go to Princeton. I didn't expect to have a million black people in the class. I know that going in. I think it's completely ridiculous to try to carve out a segregated section of classes, of dorms. Why are you there? Then you should go to a predominantly whatever school, Catholic, Jewish, predominantly, you know, historically black college. Anything, you know, that fits what you think is your comfort zone. But if you're in a predominantly white college, what do you expect? I mean, this doesn't even make sense to me. And the sad part is, it's the fact that white students also are falling into this. I'm guilty. I need to apologize. I feel like I took something. Like, how could you possibly take something from somebody? You're all sitting in a university. You're not homeless. This is the sad part, too. These are people who are part of the 1%. They're in college getting degrees that are putting them, well, at least it should put them, in positions where they have, they're the top echelon of society, economically, academically, etc. And they're still feeling like they're put upon? That doesn't even make sense to me. You're sitting in Harvard, Princeton, Yale, but you're still a victim? It's just completely, you know, up is down, down is up. Does that make any sense to you?
You know, I was just thinking, again, just a few years ago, we were much more colorblind than we are today. And you know, they may want to call it politically correct, but when you start segregating, that just adds to it. It doesn't make any sense at all. And I don't know. I don't know who's behind it. I guess the progressives are, or the idiots in the universities are that think they know everything. But we were, you know, when I was in college in the South, I can honestly say I was basically colorblind. I didn't pay attention much to. I had a good time. I was partying like crazy, but you know, I couldn't tell you who sat next to me and what. It didn't matter. It absolutely didn't matter.
If anything, Dave, it mattered that you were in your college against the rival colleges, so your team against the rival college teams. So you had a cohesion where you all had a common sense of identity and purpose. That's what being part of a country is. So to keep separating us into hyphenated names, it's silly. I'm an American, right? And I'm proud to be an American. My descent, you know, where my dad and my mom came from is part of who makes me me, but I have a cultural identity with what it means to me to be an American. Work hard, be an individual. If you have an idea and you're big enough to go and pursue it, then you should do it and nobody should get in your way. You should have empathy for people. I mean, it's just a standard cultural, it should be a cultural norm. And it's being systematically removed. But this is the key. This is about what makes this election, again, so important. It's globalism versus nationalism, versus whether you want to hold together as a country, a sovereign country. You know, I watched the Olympics. This is, and then we probably have to go to break in a minute, but I just wanted to throw this out there. I watched the opening ceremony of the Olympics, which was actually kind of boring, but on the march of all of the nations in, the thing that I was struck by was that this is awesome. Everybody's different. Everybody has something that I want to learn about. Their culture, what their norms are, their dress, everything just made it, we're all different. And that's what makes it so awesome about being, you know, having identity of a country. They're trying to wipe all of that out to make us all part of a whole, to pick winners and losers. This is not going to be an egalitarian society. Anybody who thinks that it's going to be equal and fair is out of their minds, because it will be those that are chosen as the winners, the cronies, the people who are the Politburo, if you want to put it that way, the bureaucrats, who are going to decide the laws, decide the rules, like not being able to drive and drink coffee at the same time, like in New Jersey. You know, silly, arbitrary things that box you in, that limit your movement, that limit your ability to access the gifts that God gave you and to use them. They're going to want to put a kibosh on that, because you can't have outliers in this system. The good of the many has to outweigh the needs of the few. The cost to society, if someone isn't an outlier in terms of their intellect, their medical condition, they're going to be summarily removed or quashed. Whatever you want to use as your term for making them go along, that's exactly what's going to happen. That's not a society that anybody wants to live in. There is no such thing as everybody's the same. So nothing can be equal, because we're all different. And that's the difference. So you have to have, if you have a mindset of, I'm the same as you, then that's what you, if you want globalism, there you go. That's going to be the mindset. But there's still going to be someone a little bit more equal than you. But the caveat is you'll have no way of becoming or using tools to improve yourself, because they're going to pigeonhole you into what you're born to do, what schools you should go to, what your choice of profession should be based on your testing scores. This is a completely planned economy, planned academics, planned where you live, etc. And on that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use the state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, I made a few statements about where this is going. I think, you know, probably should have started out a book show or, you know, or a book club, because people need to go back and read Brave New World. That's a template for what's going on right now. And if you look at Common Core, if you look at the state of the American education system, we are creating people from grade one on who are not as skilled, who have had critical skills stripped from them, who can't even, they don't think outside the box. And they're driven in a society where what's fashionable, what's trendy, is what you want to be. I mean, it's completely pop-driven. You know, they have these supposed icons that people are patterning their behavior after. I mean, this is not in a nutshell that you see just like the Kardashians and MTV and ETV, you know, it's E-Online or E-Entertainment, whatever it's called. All these things where they just keep shoving this stuff in your face. Basketball players and all these athletes making all this money, and they're making political statements. Have you noticed that? From all of the political seasons that I've, you know, paid attention to, this has to be the one where I see the most intervention, or just they're everywhere. The Hollywood types, you know, interjecting themselves into the political system, giving political speeches, making political statements, trying to drive the narrative of what constitutes your vote, what you should vote for, telling you what you should do when they live completely outside of the system. Practically everyone has a bodyguard, so they're protected by guns 24/7. They live behind walls. They don't have the same type of life that the rest of us do, but they're going to sit there and tell you you shouldn't want to protect yourself, that you're a bad person for wanting to have the government put in place policies that vet people before they come into the country, that economically you want to protect your standard of living. This is a big picture. It's almost as if we are switching out the American workforce for an incoming workforce that really doesn't care about or is not as astute about cost of living and about what they're worth in terms of being paid. The payment, the pay scale for workers has dropped. Immigration doesn't raise it. It lowers it because you have people who are willing to work in environments that are unsafe, that don't cost it, they don't charge as much, and they're happy to take what they get. And that is throughout the system. That's the medical system in incoming foreign-trained doctors who become hospitalists, who work for a fraction of what doctors used to work for in hospitals. We are now the frontline workforce, especially in the rural areas. That's how it's affected us in terms of our healthcare system. The VA, that they were the beginning of that kind of outsourcing. You've got workers, the union workers, or those that aren't unionized, that the workers have come in and they've dropped what the standard of payment is, and everybody else has to drop along with them. This, again, in my opinion, is dropping us into a globalized system. America has had the highest standard of living. If you compare that with the other developed countries, we are paid more. Yes, we worked harder and longer. We deserve to get paid more because we don't take a month off on average every summer. We don't take as many holidays. But they want us to drop to that standard where we're not getting paid as much, where we are changing the mindset into a socialized mindset. It's okay for the government to run everything. It's okay for the government to give me a crumb where I pay into a system, I get a fraction of what I paid in out. Or better yet, it pays me more not to do anything, but just to be, just to exist. That's not a system that Americans have ever lived under. But we're educating a group or a population of folks, whether that's people coming in who have the mindset already, or educating our young through Common Core and the rest of it, to just, this is the new normal. That's a problem because it's unsustainable. Ask the people in Venezuela how that's working out for them. They never talk about Venezuela. They've raided, it's gotten so bad in their country. They've raided the zoos. They're eating their pets. It's disgusting. They're living in a Mad Max situation. And my question, I don't know if you've talked about this or not, Dave, where's the UN? How come there's no food going to Venezuela? It's if they're on their own. And their whole society, which was communist, socialist, is a disaster. If that's what they want for the rest of us, then we're in big trouble.
Well, you got to understand, Dr. George, that the UN can't multitask, and you know they're more worried about the climate change and the effect that, you know, in 500 years the temperature going up a degree every 100 years is going to put the oceans in the middle of Atlanta. So, you know, you got to give the UN, you know, you got to give them room. They're worried about the climate.
Wow, that's amazing.
But the truth
is, well, it's all about control. Well, they've already got Venezuela where they want them.
I agree with control, but I'm more importantly agree with what you said. If you've said it once, you've said it 1,000 times on your show, and it is so true. It's so true every day, particularly with the Democratic nominee. Follow the money, and that's mm-hmm. true with the UN. That's true with everything that you've said. Venezuela and their problems, who cares? They haven't got any money anyway. Well, they did, but they screwed it up with the oil. So, you know, but it comes back, like you've said, follow the money.
Well, it's a society, the human-driven type of society is corporatized, and it's a bunch of people who are above the law. As the European Union is set up the same way. They have a group of people who are central planners who are never voted on by anybody in any of the countries that they lord over, and they make up rules and regulations that basically are designed to decimate individual pursuit of wealth. There's something in, I think it's in Britain, that they have a rule that the fishermen can't fish in their own waters, that there are... They allow other countries to come and fish, but the British fishermen are not allowed to. So they're basically been put out of business. There's something else now. I think it's in Maine. Some sort of regulation they're starting there that they have to, I don't know if it's test the weight. It's something, some regulation is going to cost them so much money that it'll actually put them out of business. That's what goes on with this central planning. It's all about rigging taxes up, making it more hurdle for you to jump through that becomes so onerous that as an individual or a small group or small business, you can't afford, and you drop out. And it leaves the corporation, the corporatized system, without any competition, which leads to monopoly, which leads to, you know, it's a system where it's top-down, rigid, and unless you're born into it or somehow can get the favor of some part of it, you're not going to be viable as an individual. You can't pursue your own business, then there's a problem. And the, again, a choice between the Democratic and Republican party in this is the mindset that you didn't create it yourself. The government did it all for you. And you should put your faith in the government and your money, and you'll be taken care of. Versus, I want you to have the tools to do whatever you feel like you want to do as an entrepreneur. And we're not going to tax you to death. We're not going to regulate you to death. We're going to allow you to have the air to breathe to grow your business. It's not the corporations that are that provide a majority of the jobs in our country. It's the small business owners that do it. If you get rid of them, the corporations could never hire enough people to make up for what the small business owners hire. That's a fact. But we're led to believe that we're not important, that we don't, you know, that we don't contribute. And in actuality, we're the ones, the small business owners, who are doing the heavy lifting while getting double taxed, while not getting the loopholes that the big, you know, Warren Buffett types get. He's paying less taxes than his secretary. Something's wrong with that system, don't you think?
Absolutely. And you know, we haven't endorsed anybody, but Trump's economic plan the other day, which is a Republican plan, mm-hmm. brings us back to reality and exactly what you're saying. Support the small businesses. Give them a tax break. Give the mothers that have to put their kids in daycare, give them a tax break. You know, up employment, and when you up employment, and this is what I don't understand about the Democrats, that they can't see this. When you have unemployment running 1-3%, you've got an economy, people are making money, and what, let me ask you, Dr. George, what do people do when they make money?
They spend it.
And what does that mean?
That means you hire more people and you have an economy that booms.
Exactly.
It's not rocket science, honestly. And, you know, we're going to take a break in a second, but when people think about one thing, if you all this wonderful increase, you know, raise taxes, $1 trillion in taxes, and you're supposed to tax people with an exit tax, et cetera, that's the Democratic Party side of this. If you tax someone an exit tax, it's a one-off, isn't it, Dave? Once they've gone, they're not going to get taxed anymore. Am I correct?
That's right.
So how does that help people down the road? It's a knee-jerk, let's screw the big guys, and we're going to get something from it, which never materializes. You're not going to be able to tax someone like that over and over again. Yes, you might get a one-off, but then it's gone. Ask France how that works. They raised their tax rate to 70%, and a lot of people left the country. And that, what did that do to their tax base? I'd rather have more people paying less tax and get the same amount, if not more, than a small group being taxed into oblivion. Because once they're out of business or gone, they're gone. I mean, that's how I see it.
No question. No question. With that, Dr. George, let's take our last break.
You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Are your health insurance premiums going up? You are not alone. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org to understand why and what you can do to get us back on the right track. This is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you will be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, part of the show I wanted to just talk about things from a common sense perspective. And the next thing that I think I've been dying to talk about is this $15 minimum wage raise. This is like the most... Okay, let's break it down for a second. If you go to the $15 minimum wage rate, people probably don't realize this, but they're going to go into a different tax bracket. And they're going to get a lot of money, probably for the first time. They're going to get a lot of money taken out of their paycheck and not get a tax return. So you end up having somebody pay more into the system with the mindset they're going to be having a living wage. I gave my employee a raise this last quarter, and it turned out that her take-home pay was like $15 more. It was ridiculous. So we both, she and I, paid more as a business. I paid more payroll tax, she paid more personal income tax and Medicare, et cetera, and she ended up not taking home enough to really even add much to her bottom line. So would it be easier just to lower the tax rate, keep it at the same pay rate? I'd hire another person. Now I'm paying more of the business and taxes, and I've just taken myself out of hiring another person because my bottom line is now lower because I'm paying more in payroll taxes. And I didn't help her. That's the sad part. You know, maybe she can buy a couple more groceries now per pay period, but it didn't substantially improve her bottom line, even though my intention was good. The government took it from both of us. So I'd rather see a lowering in taxes so your effective take-home rate goes up, and I have more money to hire another person, and I don't have to worry about payroll, or less worry about payroll biweekly, because I have more in my bank account as a business. This is how it really works in the real world, as opposed to what they tell you. $15 minimum wage? Hell, most people, 50% of our country, pay no income tax. They don't pay taxes at all. They actually get paid. I mean, I've heard stories where people never work, they have children, never had a job, and they get a tax credit, you know, $8,000. As a tax return. I never get a tax return, and I'm paying double, personal and business. What kind of system is that? You know, we need to really just divorce all the rhetoric and what we're supposed to, what they tell us is fair. It's all designed to keep people dependent. Having any kind of electronic benefit card or getting your health care from the government solely, getting a phone from the government, getting your internet now from the government. What happens when they decide to turn off the card or they have a glitch and you don't get paid for that? It doesn't get re-upped in terms of the money's coming in. What do? If you can't stand on your own, if you can't have some method of being self-sufficient, then you're a slave, are you not?
Absolutely. And you're controlled.
And when you go out of favor, then what are they going to do to you? When you start speaking your mind, or you start going on the internet and writing things that are anti-government or pro-individual, what happens to you then? You know, we have to start thinking about what if and the consequences, not what feels good right now, not what turns on your reptilian brain that makes you feel like you're special or your team is winning. Those things will get you in the end, and they know that. So they know that if you talk about racism, if you talk about sexism, if you demonize the other person and say things that you actually do yourself and you know, put that on the other person and have the media work in tandem with you to push the meme, and people are all caught up. They don't pay attention. They don't read. They just hear what they're told, and that they believe it. They can spout off everything they hear verbatim from the news, every catchphrase. But when you ask them deep questions, they have no idea. They just tell you. When you actually put them in a position, they have to cite their source and make an argument, they have no answer for you. Maybe a curse word or two, but they can't back it up. Everybody really has no excuse at this point. There's enough information on the internet that you should take the time. If nothing else, I would go to both of the websites' campaign pages on the internet and read their platforms. Read what their policies are in detail instead of someone telling you, oh, lowering taxes it's going to ruin the economy and increase the debt. Not if you hire people and everybody is paying a little bit from more people outweighs the gouging on the 1%. And the 1% is not Warren Buffett. Let me just tell you that, and let's get this over with. It's you and me. It's the people who get out there and work every day, who carry two jobs or three, who have a small business and are making payroll and paying taxes. Those are the people who are going to have their taxes go up, period. There is no cushion for us. We're paying for it. And that means our children and our loved ones will pay for it. So stop thinking about it's going to be someone else. It's you that's going to be making the payment here. And you're going to be supporting a system that's working against you from a health care perspective, from an education perspective. I mean, the fact that we're at the lowest homeowner rate ever since, what, 1940, I think? Is that what I think of the statistic was, that less people own homes now than our grandparents' generation. The wages have gone down. We've almost gotten a raise really effectively in years. That's the reality. And they want to do more of the same. Well, they tell you. It's all about infrastructure. If I hear one more, we're going to put money in infrastructure thing, I'm going to croak. Because they've said that every single time, and it never happens. Bridges are still falling down. Nothing's going down in terms of our infrastructure. Our electric grid, what was it, everything that sets us up for an EMP attack is not being protected. Nothing's getting done except they're just taking money and trying to social engineer the system where nobody's paying attention anymore.
You know, the one thing that, and I didn't follow through, and I wish I had, or I will, but that I heard that was very interesting about something that Trump said. He wants to do the infrastructure. Everybody says, well, how are you going to pay for it? And Hillary says, well, we're going to tax more.
Mm-hmm.
Trump, and you may have heard this, but and can clarify it, but Trump came out and said, the way I'm going to pay for the infrastructure is through issuing of bonds, like we did for many things in the past.
Yeah, they did a lot of that in New York.
And I think that would be very interesting. Buy a 25-year bond and get repaid with interest. You know, we're all in the same party. We've got to address the $19 trillion mess that we're in as far as selling our souls. So, you know, and again, like we've talked, if you have a growing economy, the taxes will flow in. The money will come in. But it doesn't have to be from just you and me. It can be from the whole country.
Well, it's like making an investment in yourself, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to the government telling you, we got this, which they never do. You invest in it, and you get your investment back. That would make everybody have skin in the game. That would give everybody ownership. We talked about this in the break. If you own something, whether that's property, whether that's your business, you take care of that. You're not interested in someone coming in and screwing it up because you have skin in the game. What better way to have everybody buy in to the system that works for everybody? You know, it's not somebody having a segregated cafeteria or dorm room or college class that's going to make us better. It's us all deciding that we're better than this. We're worthy. Our country's awesome. We want it back. And we have the ability to think in terms of abundance. You can be generous when you have something to give. If everybody is barely subsisting and they're struggling to make their payments of whatever that is, college, education, mortgage, whatever, and you keep piling people in who are just more people that you have to take care of in a system, it doesn't encourage cohesiveness. It doesn't help the country rebound. And I think we really need to take a step back and go back to basics and get our ship righted before we start talking about having everybody pour in. And the last thing I want to discuss, I know it's just one thing I want people to think about, is this election nonsense. It's the voting rules that they're racist and they're sexist. I'm sorry, but if you have to have an ID to buy alcohol, to get on an airplane, to actually play a sport, there's a company called Top Golf, you actually have to have an ID, pictured ID, et cetera, in order to go there. People do that. Is that racist? So we need to stop thinking with our, you know, reptilian brain, start thinking with our intellect, take our emotions out of this, follow the money, and follow the actions of all these people who are telling you what to think and how to think, and these Hollywood minions who are all being paid to, you know, to create a meme that people are supposed to follow because they like the Hollywood star. Forget them. They are completely fake. And you start thinking about what's good for you and your family, then you'll start taking your power back. That's all this is about, power. Whether you want to give it to the government or somebody who doesn't care about you, or use it, take it back for yourself and help yourself, your family, your community, and your country. On that note, thank you for listening to Medicine on Call. Have a great week.
Dr. George, thank you as always. We'll see you next week.
This is America's Web Radio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.